Chapter 6. The Ghost's Envelope. Let us go back to what had happened in the manager's office before Inspector Millefoy arrived. One morning, the managers found an envelope in their office together with a note from OG telling the managers to pay his 20,000 francs. It told them to give the money to Mrs. Jiry to take to Box 5. The managers handed the sealed envelope of money to Mrs. Jiry and then followed her to the box. At the same time, Gabriel and Mercier were hiding in Box 5. They watched her put the envelope inside the box. After waiting what they thought was an appropriate amount of time, Gabriel and Mercier took the envelope back to the managers. To their astonishment, the real notes were gone and had somehow been replaced by notes of the Bank of St. Farce. They couldn't call the police. It was an unbelievable story. They decided to try harder the following month to catch whoever took the money, and so they waited another month. The next time fell on the same day that Christine Daae disappeared. As before, they put the money in an envelope, but they didn't seal it right away. Then they sent for Mrs. Jiry.
"Good evening, gentlemen. It's for the ghost's envelope, I suppose,"
said Mrs. Jiry as she entered.
"Now look here, Mrs. Jiry," said Richard. "We all know there is no ghost."
Mrs. Jiry looked at the managers as though they were speaking Chinese.
"I don't understand."
"Oh, you don't understand?" asked Moncharmin. "We would like to know why you serve this ghost."
"Well, I don't like to talk about the ghost, but long ago he wrote me a letter. He said that my Meg would marry a prince in 1885. Well, I had to believe in him."
"You believe all he says?" asked Moncharmin.
"Yes, I said to the ghost, if she is to marry a prince, she must have a more important role in the theater. Well, the ghost had a word with Mr. Pollini, and she was promoted."
"So Mr. Pollini saw him?"
"No, but he heard him in Box 5. Mr. Pollini did anything the ghost wanted."
Moncharmin sighed. "You hear that, Richard?"
"Yes, yes, I hear," said Richard. "Mr. Pollini and Mrs. Jiry are friends of the ghost. Mrs. Jiry, do you know what is in this envelope?"
"Why, of course not," she said.
"Well, look."
Mrs. Jiry looked into the envelope.
1,000 franc notes, she cried.
"Yes, Mrs. Jiry, and you knew it. You are a thief," said Richard.
"I a thief? I a thief? I never heard of such a thing. In any case," she cried, "you, Mr. Richard, know better than I where the 20,000 francs went to."
"I?" asked Richard.
"And how should I know?"
He started to protest, but Moncharmin was interested to hear more. Moncharmin asked Mrs. Jiry why she thought Richard knew where the money had gone. To their surprise, she told them that she had put an envelope of money from the ghost in Richard's pocket. Moncharmin continued his questions.
"Tell us about the envelope you put in Mr. Richard's pocket."
Mrs. Jiry took an envelope from her pocket. The managers examined it and saw that it was stamped with their own managerial seal. They opened it. It contained 20 Bank of St. Farce notes like those they had seen the month before.
"And how did you slip it into my pocket?" asked Richard. "When you were in the foyer, I walked behind you and slipped the envelope into the pocket of your dress coat. It was easy."
"Yes, I remember now," said Richard. "I went down to the foyer to meet the undersecretary for the arts. You passed behind me, Mrs. Jiry. You seemed to push against me."
"Yes, that's it, sir."
"Of course,"
said Richard, looking a little pale. "It's very clever of OG. And then he planned to come and take the money from my pocket without my noticing it. It's wonderful."
"Oh, wonderful," Moncharmin agreed. "Only you forgot, Richard, that half of that money was mine."
On that night, when everyone saw the two managers behaving so strangely, Richard and Moncharmin had agreed that Richard should repeat everything he did on the night of the disappearance of the first 20,000 francs. Mr. Richard went to the spot where he had stood the first time Mrs. Giry had put the envelope in his pocket. Mrs. Giry put her envelope in the manager's pocket and disappeared, or rather, she was taken away. Acting on instructions from Moncharmin, Mercier locked her in his office so that she could not communicate with her ghost. That is how she came to be locked up that evening. Meanwhile, Mr. Richard was walking backward, just as if the Undersecretary for the Arts were before him. However, the Undersecretary was not before him, so his actions looked quite strange. A few steps behind him, Mr. Moncharmin did the same thing in addition to pushing away Mr. Remy and begging him not to touch Mr. Richard. They continued to walk backward until they reached the passage leading to their office. 2 minutes later, the managers were locked in their office. "Last time, we stayed in the office until we went home," said Moncharmin. "Then," said Richard, thinking, "someone must have taken it from me on my way home." "No," said Moncharmin. "That's impossible. I took you in my cab. The money disappeared at your place." "But if one of my servants took it, he would have run away," protested Richard. "I spent the entire evening with you." "And?" asked Moncharmin, red with anger. "And so maybe you took the money." "I need a safety pin," shouted Moncharmin. "We need to pin the 20,000 francs to you so you can feel if anyone tries to take it." Moncharmin opened the door and called for a safety pin. And this was the same moment that Remy arrived at the office, only to find Moncharmin shouting for a safety pin. As soon as he had a pin, Moncharmin locked the door again. He pinned the envelope inside Richard's pocket, and they waited for midnight. When the clock struck 12, they checked the envelope. The pin was in place, but the money was gone. Richard sprang upon his partner. "You took it again!" "I did not!" shouted Moncharmin. Then somebody knocked at the door. Moncharmin opened it, hardly recognizing Mercier, and without knowing what he was saying, put the safety pin into Mercier's hand.